Cabinet today. It's agreed to introduction of a number of pieces of legislation. One is the major rewrite of the public health legislation, which replaces the Health Act of 1956 and the Tuberculosis Act of 1948. There is a Māori Purposes Bill 2007, which is a combination of routine tidy-up and overhaul of the Māori Trustee legislation. There is a Radio New Zealand Bill, which is a minor, a Dog Control Amendment Bill, which Nanaia Mahuta signalled in her media briefing of several weeks ago. This is for relatively small amendments, but there has been a discussion paper go out on a range of other things which people can consider. We've signed off on the report on economic development indicators. These have been being produced since Jim Anderton's time as Minister of Economic Development, taking a number of OECD indicators and looking at whether New Zealand is improving, static or declining relative to those. Of the 27, we're actually improving at a faster rate than the OECD average, on 12 at about the same rate. Four on the stats that we have, we would not be making progress, but then that includes on savings, where there's just been major policy change introduced. So often events overtake some of the statistical series which are available. We've approved a response to the major Health Select Committee inquiry on obesity and type 2 diabetes. We've noted the outcome of the review of the Charter of Television New Zealand by TVNZ, and this now goes by referral to the Select Committee for consideration and report to Parliament. Decisions have been made on the reviews of Parts 4 and 4A of the Commerce Act, and Leanne Dalziel will announce what those decisions are in the not-too-distant future. There's a discussion paper to be issued on introducing payroll giving for charity. This would streamline employees making regular contributions to charities through the employer's payroll system. This came up as an issue in the response to the tsunami, where there was a private sector initiative which looked at whether it would be possible to make these donations, and really the legislative framework wasn't there for that. So a discussion paper is being prepared now for consultation to see whether that would be a desirable thing to do. We've also noted new guidelines coming out from an expert health advisory committee on issues around assisted human reproduction, for example, around surrogacy, embryo donation, and so on. And also noted the physical activity guidelines which Spark has developed for children and young persons. Coming up in the House this week, it is hoped to advance the Education Tertiary Reforms Amendment Bill through to its third reading and completion. Complete all stages of the Subordinate Legislation Confirmation and Validation Bill. Do the third reading of the Appropriation Continuation of Interim Meaning of Funding for Parliamentary Purposes Bill. Do the committee stages of the Building Amendment Bill and a second reading of the Electoral Finance Bill, and there is a Members' Day on Wednesday. Coming up this week, I'm obviously off to East Asia Summit and Chogham. I note that Pete Hodgson has research being released during the week around levels of increase in people coming out of the tertiary system with degrees and other qualifications. There will be in the recess week a couple of major government-sponsored summits, the Digital Summit, which David Cunliffe has been working on, and also the Primary Industries Summit in Christchurch. And as well, next week, Annette King expects to be in a position to release the organised crime strategy, which a lot of work's been done on. I have a press statement today on the deployments we make to Afghanistan. We do renew or review and generally renew these on a yearly basis. and these decisions take us out until September 2009, which means that the next review would be post a general election in all likelihood. The deployments cover the rollover at the provincial construction team, which we consider has been very successful. The two army trainers who are working with the Afghan National Army, the military officers who serve with the various headquarters in Kabul and Bagram, the military officer who serves with the UN assistance mission in Afghanistan, continuation of the two medics who we posted with Canadian forces in the south of Afghanistan, and also the three police officers who helped to train the Afghan National Police. The deployment of a Navy frigate has also been determined for some point in the period leading up to September 09. We're still working on details of length of deployment. That's been done on several occasions before since September 11. Now, any questions? Going by the response from many of those who made submissions, who supported the objectives of the bill but said it could be improved in various ways, I think yes.
Many are still upset that the year is regulated, remains regulated. Certainly the Human Rights Commission feel that it should have been changed.
As you know, there is a rule to that effect in the United Kingdom, and we have looked around at similar jurisdictions to see what would be appropriate for New Zealand. So the 1st of January of the year in which the election is due is still the date preferred by a majority of parties in Parliament.
Have you heard about the cracking down on the anonymous donations with the $240,000 cap? Mm-hmm. And that's obviously going to affect National more than your party, given the amount of vote received.
I think what has happened in the bill with the anonymous donations regime is one of the biggest areas of progress we've ever seen in electoral law in New Zealand, because it does largely bust open anonymous giving. It restricts it quite severely, and one of the key purposes behind this bill has been to get the hollow men and the secret money out of politics. This goes a long way towards doing that. There's still more work to do, and that's been signalled in the discussion and reaction from the Greens around the concept of a citizens' jury to look at alternative proposals for electoral funding for the future. But to the extent that this goes, it is a huge change and a very welcome change in making New Zealand election funding more open.
Well, why wasn't it in the original bill?
Well, there was consideration given to it in the original bill with a trade-off with explicit state funding, but then there wasn't significant support to carry that through. So the whole issue has been being talked about while this bill has been going through the select committee process, and that's enabled this new mechanism to be developed where the Electoral Commission becomes the conduit for the level of anonymous giving which is permitted, but that level itself is quite severely restricted.
Why not just keep rid of anonymous donations altogether? Was it because you couldn't get an agreement on the state funding?
Well, it's really a question of whether you can go to that total extent without compensating state funding. So it's allowed for a small amount to remain, but for overall, a huge amount of transparency around anonymous donations.
Is it allowed, though, for the Labor Party to get its anonymous donations while you, if you like, handicap the National Party?
Well, it sets a level playing field for people, and from now on, obviously, people are going to have to be a lot more open about their giving.
Well, it doesn't set a level playing field, does it, in the sense that smaller parties don't get anywhere near that amount of money?
Well, they get the same proportions, don't they? They're taking a proportionate approach.
What about, there was some criticism today of the bill, and obviously National still says it's an outrage, etc. But some of the claims that have been made today include that it now even captures politicking through things like yelling through a megaphone or waving placards.
Well, that's always been the case. It's simply more explicit, but it's always been the case. In the end, I think the law of common sense applies, but there's no fundamental change in the law at all in that respect.
Prime Minister, did your husband consult you before he wrote his letter to the Herald?
No, he doesn't require my permission to write to the Herald. He didn't seek it.
On anonymous donations, do you think people will simply stop giving money to parties if they have to be named, or do you think some of them will come out from the shadows and continue to give money without being able to recover?
That's going to be a matter for individuals, isn't it? It's impossible to predict.
There's a member of the Fiji Netball Association that's wanted back in Fiji on corruption charges. They don't want to go back. What's the government's permission to force them to leave or let them stay?
Well, I'm aware of the particular case you're referring to. And I have to say that the person concerned has been a frequent traveller to New Zealand. She has a long history of complying with New Zealand immigration law. So at this point, she has a valid visa, and it's really not an issue for us.
Why has she escaped the ban if her son is in the military?
Because that is not an area relevant to the visa ban. If you read the visa ban carefully, you will see it doesn't apply to a son or daughter being in the military.
Do you think it needs to be tightened up then? Do you think
that
she should
be
in
that? No, I don't.
Well,
visa ban has never required that, and I'm not about to rewrite it now.
Why did you exempt sons and daughters? I mean?
Well, it was never in the ban. It was serving military officers and their children. There's a very good reason.
But the soccer player wasn't allowed into New Zealand because his fiancé's father was in the military.
That's right, and the children and their partners. That's the way the ban was devised. This woman is not affected by that ban.
There was a poll in Fairfax papers today just talking about sort of whether people thought the government had too much control over their lives. The result was about 57% of people thought that they had, and a higher number thought that it had increased in the last 2 years. Do you blame any particular thing for that, or are you surprised by it?
It's very unspecific. It's really impossible to comment on.
Just on the visa ban, I mean, what was the rationale, to go back to Brent's question, what's the rationale for exempting people's children from that ban? What was the reason for it? I mean, presumably you made a decision that will exempt someone's...
It focuses on a military officer and their children and children's partners. It doesn't focus on their parents.
The Japanese are about to restart their railway access. What representations have our government made to the Japanese?
Well, obviously rather vocal ones through the media today, which say that the Japanese whaling fleet would be better advised to stay at home. It caused endless grief down there last year. And of course there was quite a dangerous situation, both with respect to the fire on board and with respect to a rather extreme activity by one of the groups opposed to the whaling in the Southern Ocean. The New Zealand government is not in a position to easily render assistance to distressed ships in the Southern Ocean. So frankly, it put everybody at risk having that sort of activity down there.
Will there be any official diplomatic
protests? I'm sure there's continual diplomatic protests, but I haven't checked on that before we came today.
Are there plans for any surveillance of the...
We do, of course, fly surveillance aircraft down in that area, and you can be assured that if they are in the vicinity and able to capture photographs, they will.
Are you meeting the Japanese Prime Minister at the summit?
I don't think there's any bilateral plan at this point.
Will the government consider supporting a green...
I'm not aware of such an SOP. There's been ongoing talk with the Greens about the form of discussion, public discussion, around the future of election funding, but that's as far as I can go at the moment.